How you doing, man? Good to see you. Like $1 million, man. You turn to Isaiah 55, book of Isaiah, chapter 55. We'll talk about he's got what you need today. I got thinking about something this week. I got thinking how each generation, whether you're 18 in here right now or whether you're 75, each generation has really always wanted the same thing. Though culture has changed, though clothes have changed, though lifestyles have changed, music has changed, technology has changed, each generation truly, really wants the same thing. Each generation wants peace. They want joy. Each generation wants to meet the right person to marry. Most people want a family. Most people want a good job or career. Most people want to be a homeowner. Each generation strives for the same things. Each generation is faced with that challenge of how do I go and how do I get through being 15, 16, 17, 18? How do I get through those years? How do I become that young adult? How do I become that seasoned adult? How do I build my life? Each one of us wants the same thing. That's not changed. Though everything else has changed, that's not changed. Isaiah 55 talks about this, how that God has what we need. Because we think that what we need, you know, and I hear it, and I've got millennials as kids, so I hear this out of that generation, that if they don't, you know, if they could get that right job, they'd be happy. If I just get that right car, I'd be happy. If I could just get that right thing, I'd be happy. And we find out as we get older that things become a lot less important, don't they? You know what becomes much more important? Health. Be able to walk. Be able to talk. You know, I was no credit to myself because it was so easy. But yesterday I did an adventure I never done before. I did a bike trail in Virginia. It was 18 miles. But it was not a challenging trail. My dad probably could have done it. No offense, Dad. This trail was 18 miles. They took you to about a half hour top of a mountain, dropped you off, and then you rode back down the mountain for 18 miles. Most of it was downhill or level. There was no uphill whatsoever. But as I was on that trail yesterday, I started thinking about this. How blessed I was that I could do that. That I could get on a bike, number one, and stay on it, number two, and then use my legs to pedal and my hands to steer and my eyes to see. I even steer in one hand part of the time, like a young person. I let go once, and that didn't turn out well. But anyway, one hand. And I got thinking how thankful I was that I could ride that trail, my health. I'm thankful I can take a flight of stairs and still be able to breathe at the top. I begin to think how thankful I've got a sound mind, that I know who my wife is, I know who my kids are, that I can recall memories. We think that things make us happy, but things don't make us happy. Money don't make us happy. Yes, it's needed, and we like to have it, but it doesn't bring joy. And that career doesn't bring peace. And even that right relationship doesn't bring everything we need. What we need is that relationship with Christ. What we need is to know He is Lord. What we need to know is that our present is covered by Him and our future is sealed by Him and our past is forgiven by Him. Because many times we try to escape our demons by finding things to replace that. We try to escape our past, our guilt, our shame, our condemnation by trying to bring other things in our lives to make that go away and erase it. But it doesn't. The only thing that satisfies is Him. And He has what you need today. Isaiah 55:1. Everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. And he that hath no money, come and buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. God is saying you can't buy eternal life. And you can't buy joy. And you can't buy peace. There's no amount of money this morning that would have made grandma get the Holy Ghost. There's no amount of money that would have made her dance in her living room or give her the peace she needed. She didn't need a big old check in the mail. She didn't need a big old new Buick in the driveway. She didn't need a house on the lake. She needed a word from God. She needed a touch from Him. And that made everything better. That's what God does. Because possessions and things, they only hit the outer appetite. They don't touch the inner appetite. There's two appetites we have as humans. We have an outer appetite, which likes the things that make our flesh feel good. That's why when the right song comes on, even with me, I will begin to move. Depends on what song it is. But I will begin to move. You put some Vanilla Ice on, man, I'm going to move. I am going to move. You put some MC Hammer on, my feet are going to move. Because the beat just does something to my flesh. Because you can't touch this. It makes me move. We go to a buffet. We love buffets. Why? It feeds our outer appetite. That's why the Golden Corrals are so popular and the Village Inns. Gail loves Village Inn. Every Wednesday's at Village. You want to go see Gail and visit him, go to Village Inn on Wednesday. You'll see Gail there. All that pizza, all that buffet. And here's the kicker. It's all you can eat. Ooh, we like that. So we pack our bodies with that pizza. We pack our body with that Golden Corral. And then afterwards, we're packing ourselves with Tums. And we're holding our guts. Oh, I feel miserable. Oh, we go in that food coma and sleep for 4 hours because we put so much sugar in our body at one time. I mean, all of that because we're feeding this appetite. We're feeding this. We go to ball games to feed our appetite. We love being in a ball game for 2-3 hours. The atmosphere, we cheer, we roar, we love it. But then we walk away from that game and it's over. It's done. So what is next? This is next. God is saying, what I have for you, money can't buy. And you don't need money. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. It's a gift that I'm giving you. It's a gift I'm offering you. Come and receive, just like the woman at the well. He went to that woman at the well, that Samaritan woman, who didn't deserve by her own living standards any mercy or any grace. She didn't deserve any of that. But Jesus came to her and says, I have living water. Do you want it? What do you mean? I don't have a cup to dip the well out with. She was thinking natural, outer. He says, no, not that kind of water. The water I offer you, you won't have to go from man to man to man no more to find your peace. What I'm going to give you will give you eternal and steadfast and constant and everlasting peace. That it won't be a man that gives you that peace. It'll be my spirit that gives you that peace. That's what he was offering her. She says, yes, I want it. And man, her life changed. She went back and gave it away to her family. And her family changed because Christ offered her this gift. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? You labor for that which satisfieth not. I think we've all, if you're in here and you're over the age of probably 30, 35 at least, you've realized sometimes that things you've accomplished, though you're glad you did it, don't really satisfy. It's like, okay, so I've done that, okay, but there's got to be more. Hadn't there got to be more? Something deeper, something greater than what I've accomplished, something greater than what I've done. There's got to be more. There is more. But that more is not found in a better career or more money. That more is found in Him, walking deeper and deeper with Him, letting Him take you to those places the world can't take you to. How can we have peace in such a world of violence and turmoil and division? Because He gives it to us. How can I have joy in a world that seems to be sapping my joy away? Because remember, the devil is an adversary. He's an enemy. He's a foe. He's intentionally bullying you. He's intentionally trying to rob you. He's on a mission and a path to disrupt and destroy your life. But if we have Christ, if we have Him, if we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, then He has no authority or power to let us be robbed. He can't do that. He can't take that from us because God gave it to us. He give it deep inside of us. Hang on to it and don't let Him steal it from you. Church, we know our future. We know our hope. There's so much hate right now. There's so much division right now. There's so much turmoil right now. But I'm going to have peace because my life is in Him. Money can't buy happiness. Only peace can give you true happiness. And that peace, church, can only come from knowing you are loved by your Father and you belong to Him. You spend wages for what don't satisfy. Listen carefully. Eat what is good. Let your soul delight itself in abundance. Church, there are so many people walking around that have plenty of stuff, but they're bankrupt. They have no abundance. They're depleted. They have nothing inside. They're void of anything important. They're void of anything that matters. Yes, they may look good on the outside, but inside they are empty. They are hopeless. They are helpless. And what they need is this bread to fill them. Jesus said in one place that I am the living bread, the bread that came down from heaven. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, but if you eat of this bread, this bread. In other words, the children of Israel ate and their outer man was filled, but the inner man was still empty. God fills the inner man. God gives us. He filled grandma's inner man today. He filled her with what she needed inside, not outside, inside. And when He gets on the inside of us, it manifests outside. And you can't help but have joy and peace when God gets a hold of you, when God touches you. He says, incline your ear. Listen to me. Come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Hear what I have to offer, and your soul shall live. Remember what Jesus said. He said, if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, what have you gained? Nothing. You've gained nothing, church. I would rather leave this earth with nothing but a blanket and a tent to be with Him than to have all the possessions of the world and die without them. For all of that's going to end one day, whether it's at 50 or 60 or 80 or 100. It's going to eventually end. And then the next step of our journey begins. And that journey without Christ is a hopeless and eternal journey of emptiness and separation. But with Him, there's an old Southern song, gospel song, come out, I guess, back in the 80s. I think it's the 80s. It might be an older. Talks about, let me sing in that heavenly choir. Please let me sing in that heavenly choir. Please let me sing in the choir. Dun, dun, dun. This poor old man. Anyway, the story of the song is, nobody let this old man sing in a choir. He's trying to join the choir of the church. Nobody would let him sing because I guess he wasn't good. Makes sense, right? We don't want you up here if you can't sing. No offense. He couldn't sing. So he said, they won't let me join. Well, he died. Well, guess what he's doing after he died? Now I'm singing in the heavenly choir, singing in the heavenly choir. This old man that couldn't sing on earth is now singing in the heavenly choir, so to speak. I don't know how it goes, but, you know, it's kind of made that up. But that's how this tune goes. He is singing now in that heavenly choir. Though he didn't get what he desired here, he got what he desired there. And so, church, we are going to be fulfilled if we are in Christ. If He is our Lord, He is our King, He is our Savior, we have nothing to fear and nothing to worry about. We are in His hands. Boy, that's good news. He said, I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. I want to have a point on this verse. An everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. God honored His word right here through Christ. We know Jesus, if you read the lineage in Matthew, Jesus came out of the lineage of David. He said, I'm going to make an everlasting covenant through the lineage of David. Jesus came through David. Jesus died. Jesus rose. And when Jesus rose, He affirmed this prophecy. Because now He is everlasting, the King on a throne. Just thought that was a great point to make. Next verse. Indeed, I've given Him as a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know. Nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for He has glorified you. Rather the glory of God any day than the glory of man. Man runs out. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. This is why it is so important, church. When God is drawing you, When God is speaking to you, that you don't fight it, that you don't throw your head down the seat and say, I'll do it next time the preacher has an altar call, or the next time I feel that feeling. You do it now. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know. Nobody saw this 12-year-old tragedy happen this week. Nobody saw the 17-year-old tragedy, could predict that was going to happen. And now they're off the earth. They're gone. There's no more seeking him while he can be found for them. They're gone. When the Spirit draws, it's important we respond to it immediately. That we don't worry about, well, what if I fail you? I promise you, you're going to fail yourself, and you're probably going to fail those around you, but you're not going to fail God. God understands and God knows. He's calling your name ahead of time, knowing that you're going to mess up again, you're going to fall again, you're going to slip again, you're going to sin again, because we keep on sinning after we're saved. Don't let nobody tell you they don't. If they don't, pray for them, because they're sinning right now by telling you a big old fat lie. We're going to make mistakes after we're saved. So don't worry about, well, I feel God called me, but I know I'm not going to change. You don't know that. I'm going to tell you, when the power of God touches your life, you will change. You don't have to even think about it. The Holy Spirit will do a new creative work inside of you. And what you used to be is not what you'll continue to be. And what you once desired will not be your future desires. For the Holy Spirit transforms you from darkness into light. And you will be changed. Trust that. It may not be all at once. But you will immediately see a transformation taking place. You'll think different. You'll see things different. You'll have different desires to please God and not please yourself as much. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what God does. Seek him while he's near. Call upon him. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. Now look at this. He's telling us, he's saying, look, if you'll forsake your bad ways, you'll walk away from your darkness and your sin, and you'll repent, and you'll acknowledge it, and you'll come to me with it. Return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. He will have mercy. God's making a promise here that if we will turn to God, forsake our way, say, God, I need you. Lord, I need you. Every hour, every day, I need you. I know my life's not right. I know I'm doing things that don't please you. I know I'm bringing my own destruction, demise. God, I know that this is what you have, something better for me. I know I'm on a path of darkness. I know I'm on a path of rebellion. I know I'm on a path of sin. I know I'm on a path that's going to lead to nowhere. God, can you have mercy on me? Yes. He says it here. If you'll return to me, if you'll call upon me, if you'll come to me, I'll have mercy. I'll forgive you. The Bible says in 1 John, if we confess our sins before him, he is faithful, he is just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what he does. We can't cleanse ourselves. We can't buy our way to heaven. We can't buy our way to church. Us coming to church don't make us saved. Just like I've got, you know, it don't make you saved. Just because you come to church. Because you give don't make you saved. Because you raise your hand don't make you saved. What makes you saved is you call upon the Lord Jesus. And he becomes your Savior. It's not about the works of what we try to do to earn our way in. It's about the work that Christ did for us. And he has paid the price in full. He will have mercy, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isn't that wonderful? We know what pardon is, right? Every presidential candidate, before they go out of office, always pardon a bunch of people, right? Not sure why they do that, really. Never understood that. But anyway, each one always pardons people. You're free to go. I'm pardoning you. What he's saying is you're no longer guilty. You're now innocent. You're free. Go. Wouldn't it be great to hear the words of God speak to our hearts and say, you are free from your addiction. You are free from your demons. You are free from your strongholds. You are free from your shame. You are free from your guilt. You are free from your past. You have been pardoned. All of that has been erased and covered up and forgotten through my blood. And you're free to go now as the person I've called you to be. See, we raise our kids, and a lot of times our kids don't walk the paths we walk. And we tell our kids, look, yeah, they say, well, I got to be me. Yeah, you got to be you. But are you being you? Are you really being you? Are you being what someone else is trying to make you be? Are you being what the devil is shaping you to be? Or are you being what God's? So there's a big difference in us being who we're supposed to be because we're following God or following the devil. What's God say we're supposed to be? Are we being what God has called us to be? God has called us for more than where we are at. God's called us for more than how we are living. God's called us for more than how we are thinking. God's called us for more. And we need to respond to that and understand that we may think we're being us, but is it line up with what God wants us to be? Because God's way is always the better way. He says it here, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways, your ways are not my ways. In other words, how we think about ourselves, how we think about our future, is not how God thinks about us or our future. God sees us so different than we see ourselves. Church, rise up and declare who you are in God. I was formed. Jeremiah said, I was formed in my mother's womb. I was called by his name in my mother's womb. God knew when we were a seed, before we were a seed in our mother's womb, God knew us. And he called us and he's formed us for far greater than going through life's journey and taking all the paths of sin, following the devil. And we see the same pattern repeated. It's so amazing how we just never learn. Our parents tell us not what to do. What do? Opposite of what they say do. Ed tells Zoe and Chloe, don't do this, don't do this. What do? They do this and they do this. Then they get in trouble for it, and they come crying to daddy about it. And dad says, I told you not to do it. Well, I know, but nothing. I know. I may look old to you, Zoe and Chloe, but I didn't get this gray beard overnight. Partially gray beard, excuse me. I didn't get it overnight. I've been around for a while. You young folks, there's old saying, these old timers used to say, I was born in the night, but it wasn't last night. Another old saying, I didn't fall off a watermelon truck. In other words, I've been around a while, and my gray beard tells me that I know more than you. And so we tell our kids, don't do that, but they don't learn. They go through the same, and here's their reasoning sometimes. Well, I got to figure it out myself. Okay, why? We had a bonfire Friday night. If that little baby right there was walking toward that fire, can it walk yet? A crawl, okay. If it crawled to the fire, it stays like, well, is it a she or he? I'm sorry. He, okay. I'm not going to stop because he'll figure it out. He'll figure it out. Yeah, when he's dead. Yes, figure it out. You wouldn't let your child touch an open flame without popping their hand and saying no. So for these young people say, well, just let me figure it out. Why? Take some advice. Take some counsel. We've been there. I've still got my inmate number, 06439. I know. You don't want to go down this path. I've been there. Stripes don't look good on you. You're not shaped the right way. Trust me. I mean, if we would just listen to counsel. But no, we rebel as young people, even as older people. I've seen adults act like three-year-olds. You call them out on Facebook, they delete you. Okay, just because I posted I don't believe in abortion, now I'm a narrow-minded, idiotic, sucked into the world's religious, Christ-following, Bible-thumping, Pentecostal-shouting idiot. And you delete me because of that? So you can make all the comments you want, but if I respond, oh my God, I can't handle no response. That's pretty shallow. You're the one who needs to grow up. I'm just saying. And so adults are like that. Listen to counsel. Young people, listen to your mom, your dad, your grandparents, your teachers, your police officers, anyone in authority, listen to them. They know what they're talking about. And they're trying to help you from going down the road they know brings destruction. Why experience something you can avoid? Why experience it? On my bike trail, I had one boo-boo, I had one accident. That's when we first got started. Well, my point is, I slammed into a pole. Melody heard a thump and turned around, laying on the ground. She didn't know if I was unconscious or not. And my leg swelled up real bad. I didn't see it. Them trails have like sometimes little divider poles. Melody's in front of me. I'm following her. She kind of weaves through it. I didn't see it in time. So I'm jerking. Bam! Hit my against a metal pole. Hit. Bam! My leg fell off my bike. Now, what would have been nice is if Melody would have said, "Pole," I would have known. Bill did later, thank God. Or a pole we met from then on, Bill went, "Pole!" So I would see it. Young people, your parents are saying that. Pole! Listen to that. That means you're about to slam head into something that you don't want to slam into. We are there to warn. God's word warns us. It helps us. It counsels us to say, avoid this. Don't. My thoughts aren't your thoughts. My ways aren't your ways. Trust that. Next verse. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. In other words, God has such a higher standard for our lives than we place on ourselves. Church, we limit ourselves to such low expectations when God wants to take us so much deeper. And for you young people, you teens, you 20-somethings that are in here, let me tell you this. You don't have to go down the same trap every other young person goes down. You can stay the course. You don't have to go the drug route, the drinking route, the fornication route. You don't have to do all of this. You can stay on the right road and say, I'm doing it the right way, God's way. Just because you're young, don't make excuses. Well, you know, I'm young. You know how I'm going to do it. Why? You ain't got a mind of your own? Why are you going to do it? Because everybody else is doing it. Well, look at everybody else's life. They'll talk about me. They're talking about you anyway, man. They're talking about y'all anyway. Trust me. So live for God. Make some decisions. Say, you know what? Remember Timothy said, flee youthful lust. Just because you're young don't mean you got to sin. Well, I want to have a good time before I get old. I got to sow my wild oats. Those wild oats are going to bring a wild harvest. Trust me. There's some oats you don't want to sow. So we trust God. Lord, what's your path? What's your plan? I want to follow it. I want to do it your way. This is why it's so important we get our children in church. I don't care if they're 1 year old, 6 months old. They need to be in church hearing the word of God. It's such. Who was it sharing? Was it Tay? Was he at school about praying? Tell him what happened with Tay. Tay's 4 years old, right? Tell him what happened. 5 years old. You're just lucky to be here and be sane today, right? He's in school. He's in kindergarten, right? How many kindergartens do you see going to the playground and praying with another student? Is that not amazing? He's learned that through his parents, through his church, through his teachers back there. He's learned that. I mean, his little instinct was to go, 5 years old, to go pray for her. Not make fun of her. Not kick her when she was down. Not say, ha ha, you falling, can't get up. You know, he didn't do any of that. He prayed for her. That's amazing. You know why he needed to do that? Because he's hearing the word of God. It's important we hear the word of God. As the rain, I love this verse. Look, as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and they do not return there. Now look at this. Once the rain falls, it don't go back up. I've never seen rain going up. But y'all, if you have, you own something I ain't never took. Rain comes down. And once it's fallen, it's released. Once snow falls, it's down. It doesn't return back the way it falls, and it's done. It waters the earth, and it brings forth fruit brings forth and buds that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So he ties the next verse. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return back to me void. It won't return back to me pointless or empty or unproductive. But it shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in that thing in which I sent it. God has a divine assignment and appointment of his word. And that word is assigned to our lives. It's appointed to our lives to bring forth fruit. To bring forth fruit for us to eat of and be strengthened. It doesn't return. Just as the rain don't go back up and doesn't water the earth, God's word doesn't come down then go back up and not water us. It produces that which it was sent to produce. So when you read God's word, it ministers right here. When I went to see Beulah Thursday morning, or whichever day it was, Wednesday, I think, went to her bedroom, and she's a little nervous. She's a little afraid. I pulled out Psalms 23, and I sat on her bed, and I read it to her. And I loved that Psalms. And I said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know what happens? That word, she was laying there, glazing toward the ceiling as I was reading that. That word was going into her spirit, reminding her, I don't have to fear walking through the valley of the shadow of death. See, the shadow itself is not itself. The shadow is a reflection of what you are. But the shadow, a shadow can't hurt you. A shadow can't touch you. A shadow can't harm you. And she's walking through the shadow of that shadow. But she's going to enter into that kingdom and just see his face. And that shadow will not engulf her. That shadow will not take her. She don't have to fear that shadow of death that stands there. For she's already been resurrected to eternal life through him. That word, as it rained into her bedroom, as it rained, there's life in that word. Church, there's life in that word. You know, for young people who think the Bible is just, I can't understand it, preacher. You don't understand. I've tried reading it. It's by a bunch of old people 100 years ago. You don't understand it. Let's turn it to a song. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Guideth my soul. Though I walk through the shadow of the Almighty, I will not fear no evil, for thou art with me. Yeah, they are with me. If we tie that into something we can relate to, you'd understand it. Because we take lyrics from the singers and the rappers and the people we like, and oh man, those lyrics are so powerful. They're deep, man. They speak to my life. They speak to my soul. Yeah, they do. Sometimes in a very negative way. Let the word of God speak to your life and speak to your soul. For God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that's me, whosoever believeth shall not perish, shall not die, but I will have everlasting life. Now that's some dope lyrics right there. That's pretty good. To know I've got eternal life. The word of God is very relevant, and the word of God can be understood if we will open it and read it with a mind and letting the Holy Spirit lead us. God, as I read this word, speak to me. Let me know what you're saying. And oh, he'll let you know what he's saying. It's not outdated. It's not hard to understand if we'll just let God speak to us. Look at verse 55. I love this. Grandmother's verse reminded me of you this morning after your blessing. Verse 12, sorry. Grandma woke up this morning discouraged, overwhelmed, you know, sad, downtrodden. But verse 12 describes Grandma after her little visitation from God. You shall go out with joy, be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Think about that. Glory to God. Because when God does a work, the atmosphere changes. Sorrow has to give way to joy. Fear has to give way to peace. Darkness has to give way to light. Weakness has to give way to strength when God's involved. Clapping the hands. Think about the old movie I love, Sound of Music. Y'all ever seen that movie, Sound of Music? The Von Trapps. I'm kind of an old soul, I guess. I like Frank Sinatra, if that tells you anything. Anyway, they had that song in Sound of Music. The hills are alive with the sound of music. Ooh. Every time I read that word, I think about that line. Because they're out there and they're happy and they're dancing and they're in the mountains and they're you know, gaining their freedom from that the country they were in, and they're free. And the hills are alive. Guess what? Our hills are alive with the sound of the gospel, with the sound of the Holy Spirit, with the trumpet sounding, declaring we are the people of God. We are His children, and we are His seed, and we will prosper at whatever our hand touches because He is in it. Sing for joy, for the Lord is at hand. Hallelujah. God has what you need today. You may be in a place right now, you don't know where to turn, you don't know what direction to go, but God has a plan. He wants you to simply trust Him. Nothing else has worked. My avenues are running out. I burnt my bridges. I see no hope in sight, but God has what you need today. We've got to get outside the flesh of trying to figure it out. As Grandma said earlier, we can't do anything in ourselves. We have no strength in ourselves. It's hard enough to have strength with the Holy Spirit, much less without it. God wants to do a work in you today that you leave here different than you came. It may not be the magic card, maybe not be pulled out tomorrow in your life that makes everything go away. I'm not saying that. But today's a beginning and a start to where you trust God with what your need is and say, God, from this point on, you take it over. And God, I need freedom. I need peace of mind. I need restoration. I need my home restored. I need my children saved. I need addiction broken. I need strongholds released. Whatever it is, you've got what I need. You've got it. I'm going to play a song. I want you to, that last one, I want you to turn it kind of low. This song's called The Well. Talking about come to the well. If you're thirsty, and I'm going to open the altar up this morning before we close. And if you need something from God today, just come up here and talk to Him. Just talk to Him. Say, Lord, this is what I need. I need this today from you. It's a beautiful song talking about just bring our needs to Him, whatever they are. You're not too far gone to be saved. You've not done too much to be forgiven. And let me tell you this. Don't let this stand in the way either. I just felt impressed just now to say this. Don't let the pride of, well, I'm really okay, I'm not that bad, stand in the way either. We always talk about the other spectrum. Well, I'm just so lowly, I'm such a sinner, I'm so bad, God wouldn't have me. But some people think, well, you know, I'm okay, and I'm cool, and I'm good, and, you know, I'm all right. But you're not. That's what you're telling yourself. That's the pride of the devil letting you know, but you're really not all right. You need something different. Go and play this song. Altar is open. If you have a need today, come talk to God.
Leave it all behind.
Talk to Him. Get what you need this morning.
Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. I have what you need, but you keep on searching. I've done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy, just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, it just ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy and the world leaves you high and dry, just come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try
leave it all behind and come to the well. So bring me your heart, no matter how broken. Just come as you are. When your last prayer is spoken, just rest in my arms a while. You'll feel the change, my child, when you come to the well. It's all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. Leave it all behind. And now that you're full of love beyond measure, your joy's gonna flow like a stream in the desert. Soon all the world will see the living water is found in me. 'Cause you come to the well, yeah. It's all who thirst will thirst no more. It's all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind.
Same Holy Spirit that drew you can draw you today. There's no difference. We don't need a hype to hear from God. We just need a heart to surrender. That formula has never changed. And Father, I pray for the people in this sanctuary. I pray for our young generation, all those that are battling, God, unbelief and doubts, that you move upon their hearts with so much power, with so much conviction, that it'll be undeniable, God, that you are calling their name. We don't have to try to set you up, God. You've already set up. We don't have to try to do a hype to get people to hear from you. You can speak clearly through all of their fears and unbeliefs and doubts. And I just pray hearts here today. I pray, Father, for our young people today, that they know there is hope for their future and there's hope for their lives. That just because they're surrounded by such corruption and immorality, that they don't have to be sucked into that cycle of living. But God, you have called them out and separated them for a purpose, for a cause, for their future. Lord, we pray your Holy Spirit be heard today, and that hearts have received your word, and that we will leave with a seed planted. Even if we see no transformation right now, we're believing the seed has been planted, and that fruit will come forth in due season. In Jesus' name, amen.